Hey everybody, welcome back to Gamer Heroes. This is episode 33, and I am Derek. I've got my co-host John on the line.
I am back, and I'm glad you guys are too.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, I'm doing well. We've done some exciting things in the past few days, and I'm ready to talk about them.
Well, yeah, we got some cool stuff to talk about. We're going to be talking SteamWorld Dig 2 from Image and Form. Sony had a press conference. There's some Xbox One news. We're going to talk a little PlayerUnknown's Battleground. And classic DOS-based CD gaming might be coming back as well. So that's what you got today.
That's exciting. That's really exciting because there's a lot of games for the old PCs that I was like, man, if I could only go back. So that's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I still have a lot of those games. And I guess if you want, we could just kind of start with that. So
sure.
There's an Indiegogo out there now. All the early bird stuff is gone. So I'm sorry you won't get in at the entry level here. But I guess it's pronounced SEEDI, S-E-E-D-I, the retro gaming system. And basically it is a game console that, according to the Indiegogo, will play games from the PS1, the Neo Geo CD, TurboGrafx CD, Sega CD, as well as DOS PC games.
See, I mean, that's all great. I just don't know how that works. Remember we were kind of discussing this, like, so, I mean, it's reading it, saving it, and then emulating it? What's it doing?
It has an open source emulator that will run most of this stuff. But, you know, it basically looks like it's going to play off of the CD. I mean, it's pretty, simple. There's a small console, and I say small because in the picture it looks like they have what's essentially like a knockoff DualShock controller.
Right.
And the DualShock's like about half the size of the console.
Well, so that's really like a PS3 DualShock too. That's not even like a new one.
Yeah. So the console looks like it's like maybe a fatter CD-ROM drive from back in the day. It comes with a stand so you can have it stand upright and power. And that's basically it. That's like the whole thing.
There's a USB cable.
There is a USB cable. That's true. That's true. And then they have this adapter that you can buy. It's called the Retrode adapter. So you can actually play cartridge games like Sega Genesis and Game Boy games and things like that. You can plug in different types of controllers to it and things of that nature. It plays DVDs and
cool.
CDs, which is weird. It can play media from a NAS, which is kind of cool. So it's almost like a mini media station. Plays in 1080p. It's got HDMI and Wi-Fi, Bluetooth. So I mean, it's actually fairly robust considering, you know, what they're really trying to do here. But yeah, there is an Indiegogo, and right now it looks like $110 is the entry level. But it does not come with a controller. If you want a controller, that'll cost you $125. And there's a couple other levels too. There's a limited edition, which is like this kind of transparent green color at $135. And kind of, you know.
That's a little weird. That's weird that they charge you that much for a controller.
It's only $15.
Oh, I'm sorry, 15. Okay, I misunderstood you. When you lumped that was the price for the entire system, right?
Yeah, it's $125 gets you the system with a controller.
With a controller.
Or if you want to use your own controllers, you can save $15 and just pay $110 for the system. So.
That's pretty cool. So I know we don't have very many details on it, but do you think this is something you would get?
So it sounds really cool. And if it was in stores, I think I would definitely be interested. But I've been burned by Indiegogo a couple of times. Never with video games, more with movies. I've funded some movie projects that nothing ever came of. Because for people who don't know, so on Kickstarter, if a goal is not met, then it's not funded. You're never charged your money, right? But on Indiegogo, they get to keep whatever is earned, essentially. So right now, they've made over $11,000, but they want $50,000. And they have about a month left, So if I were to contribute today and they don't reach the 50, they get my money, but they may never make the console because they didn't reach their goal.
Right. That's kind of, man, that's backwards. And that doesn't even count as a donation on taxes, does it?
No, I mean, the idea is that that way they can kind of start the production process earlier on instead of having to wait for the campaign to be over and you're basically sitting stalled for 6 months, or maybe you have to just take it out of your own pocket and get reimbursed. You know, so I understand it, but it's more risky, and Kickstarter is already risky, right? So,
well, but they at least refund you.
Yeah, that's true.
You're making a donation to these guys' pockets, and if it doesn't happen, the project, there's my $100.
Yeah, I mean, it's a short timeline. They're estimating March of 2018, and the beta is actually supposed to come by the end of the year, which was this initial tier that was only 12 of. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I'm very weary about stuff like that, so I really don't think it'll happen, to be honest with you.
Oh, but, I don't know. If they reach their goal, of course, then I do think it'll happen. It seems like a pretty well-thought-out plan. It seems like they've got all their ducks in a row from this perspective. But if they don't reach the goal, then, yeah, you may never see it.
Right. That's too much of a risk for me, so
yeah.
I won't be backing it up. But you guys can't.
yeah, totally. So that's it. That's the CDI, or CD, I don't know. It's the SEEDI retro gaming system on Indiegogo now.
Cool.
So, yeah. What else we got?
Well, I will dive into PlayStation. Sony had a large conference in Tokyo here on September 19th. It was TGS 2017. And basically, a lot of fun news for certain PlayStation fans. You'll find that Monster Hunter World was given a release date, and that is a really big thing for people who are all about the Monster Hunter games. I've personally never played one. Have you?
Very little. I played them for a little bit. There was an old coworker who was really into those games, and you know, it's not really my thing. But I know it's a popular franchise.
Have you seen the trailer for this one?
No, I have not.
It's actually pretty damn cool. So I'm interested to see how it goes. I mean, I'd love to see more gameplay and see what it's really about. I think the premise is pretty straightforward. You can either play as a special monster, or you can be a human, and you're hunting each other in an open world. So... Monster Hunter is set to release January 26th of 2018. So that's actually a pretty long wait.
But I mean, that should be a quiet window. There's not going to be a lot of January releases. So.
Yeah. Well, they're opening up the doors to, pre-orders here September 20th. So that was actually yesterday.
Oh yeah. Okay. Cause yeah, we record on, either Wednesday or Thursday. This week was a Thursday. So.
Right. Probably the biggest news of this event was Left Alive was announced, and that is a Square Enix game that is basically a new survival action shooter. That it looks like it has some horror elements to it. It's supposed to be dark and gritty, and it's been produced by the same manager that did the Final Fantasy games.
Mm.
So it could be really cool. It is futuristic. I recommend checking out the trailer. They released it's all games for the most part. No talks of PS5s, which were all rumors. sorry to deflate. No talks of any new PlayStation Pro updates or PlayStation Pro price decreases, unfortunately.
Sure.
But I'll just get through the list here. So they have released new footage on Shadow of the Colossus. And that one is not quite set. They don't have a release date for that.
They've been talking about that one for a while now. I'm wondering why we still don't have any kind of date for it.
I have no idea. It's a remake. So I don't think, in my opinion, sometimes, unless they're completely overhauling this game, it makes no sense why it's taking so long.
Well, they probably are completely remastering it, but, you know.
See, remember we talked about this. There's a difference between a remastered game and a rebooted or re-overhauled, whatever we talked about. Do you remember that?
I mean, yeah, so it's just like with movies, right? You've got remakes, reboots, remasters. They're calling the new It movie a re-adaptation. So, you know, I don't want to, like, split hairs too much, but this is supposed to be a remake, which, of course, also means it's remastered. I guess maybe the differentiation would be that a remastered is almost shot for shot, but done in new graphics, whereas a remake could be a totally new experience.
Exactly. That's exactly how I interpret that, is remake is they're completely creating something new within this game. Mm. So, I mean, that's how I interpret it, but they just basically gave us a trailer with some new visuals. Looks pretty cool. But really don't have much information on it. They are remastering Final Fantasy IX. So
there's always a Final Fantasy remaster in the works.
Every year.
It's one feels of the laws. Like. It's one of the laws of video games, is that there has to be a Final Fantasy game remaster being in development at any given time.
Right, so, it was released back in 2000 for the PlayStation 3 and the PSP. Come on, guys, what are we doing here?
They love it. I mean, they remake these games. I wouldn't say all the time, but they do remaster these games a good amount. And Final Fantasy's still chugging along, you know, with 15 last year, 14 is still going strong. You've got the SNES Classic, of course, has Final Fantasy on it, so. You know, these things are never really going away. People still love the franchise.
It's a great franchise, and it's gone for so long, but it's just like, God, you're milking it. You're hitting the dead horse here at this point. You guys just keep remaking the game and making additional revenue on it, you know?
Well, at least they keep updating the graphics, though.
Like, they are updating it.
And I think the craziest part about this is that it's out now. This game came
out
in
the PSN. It's literally in the PSN.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, a lot of these games they talked about have either future release dates or unknown release dates, and this one's actually, it's out there right now.
Yeah, you guys can play this game with all the remodeled and HD cutscenes your heart can desire. this one is another Final Fantasy thing. In addition to announcing Final Fantasy IX for PlayStation 4, Square Enix has revealed that Noctis will be featured in Dissidia Final Fantasy NT. Dissidia.
Okay, okay.
Dissidia. Dissidia.
Dissidia, yeah, Dissidia. I got
you. And that would be, what, 15? He's the protagonist from the 15th game?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't keep this shit straight, okay? Dragon's Crown was confirmed.
At least they fixed the numbering, and it's not different. You know, back in the day, the states, North America, got a totally different numbering scheme than Japan did. So that's not true anymore.
That's true. It's like, guys, it's Roman numerals. It's pretty easy because the Romans have been doing it since before everything.
Well, sure, but like some games don't get released here, and so it's, you know, an issue of do we continue to count the same or not?
Yeah,
right. So,
well, I'll lose track today, tomorrow, next year. There's too many to keep track of. Moving on, Dragon's Crown was confirmed for PS4, and this was something that was leaked a little earlier this month, actually. It was revealed one of their conference, I don't know, interviews, and this one's kind of interesting. It's definitely an action RPG, and it's supposed to have 4K support. I don't know much more about it other than, let's see here.
Well, so, I mean, is there a North America release date, or is it just Japanese?
Reviewed. So it looks like it was released back in 2013, and they're remastering it for PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Oh, it's pretty interesting looking. It's very nostalgic.
Sure.
But yeah, it actually released back in 2013 for PlayStation 3 and Vita. So I don't know why that's considered news. In my head, it's not really news.
Yeah, it's a 4K remaster, and with the PS4 Pro, they want to hit that stuff kind of hard. So Sony wants to sell 4K TVs.
Yeah, yeah, you're totally right. Everything's coming back in 4K. A lot of these remasters are being 4K. So other than that, Japan Studio is doing a VR music festival as well, which was actually supposed to be like a, I don't know, Burning Man meets Gravity Rush meets all sorts of crazy stuff. So that's pretty cool. But other than that, Stony didn't really – there wasn't really anything that great in this press conference that really draws my attention, considering I'm not even really a big fan of Shadow of the Colossus, Monster Hunter. Now, I will say Left Alive is interesting to me, only because it's more of a horror-type game.
Sure, that's your wheelhouse, so.
Right, but other than that, I think Monster World looks cool.
Fair enough.
But
you mean
yeah.
Monster Hunter?
Monster Hunter World, yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's
good stuff.
I mean, that's Sony for you. They're keeping it close to the chest. Like I was, everyone. So there was a lot. If you've been following gaming news, everyone was pretty certain. Oh yeah, we're gonna hear PS5 news or some kind of portable device to combat the Switch at this particular conference. And no, nothing.
Yeah. Nah, I'm not super surprised about that. You know, Sony has their plan. It's a different plan than Nintendo's. It's similar to Microsoft's, but I am not surprised. So, all right, well, let's then move on to PlayerUnknown's Battleground, or PUBG, as the kids are calling it. This is an interesting game. It's actually still in what's called Early Access on Steam.
Right.
Which means it's officially not released. It's really just a fancy way for saying it's a beta that you have to pay for.
Yeah, but the benefit to that is when you purchase the beta, you purchase at a deeply discounted rate, and you get to keep the game after when it actually releases and actually play the game. So
that's true.
Like it's $29.99 on Steam right now. If you guys wanted to pick that up, you'd be saving yourself, 50%, because that's going to be a $59 title.
Probably, yeah. So, all right. So let's talk about it a little bit. What has you so interested in PUBG?
So, it's actually kind of a bittersweet type thing. So we Xbox, when they were releasing their Xbox X, the Xbox One X or whatever you want to call it, they were really, really excited to say that they're getting PlayerUnknown or PUBG, and it looks really cool. It's an open world, every man for himself type game, and I think that's really cool to a certain degree. And if you actually go and read the comments for this game, it's not playing as well as you would think. So because it's early access, there are a lot of people who have streaming, I guess they're streaming the game and it promotes the game. So
sure, yeah.
The developers allow them to do that. So when they get killed while during a stream, they get pissed off and they complain to the developers directly, and the developers listen to them because they're giving them revenue. So a lot of people have been getting banned for just about any reason, literally any reason. And they're actually calling these people stream campers. And these are people who the real definition of a stream camper is someone who can tell that basically can tell by the gamer tag that they're a streamer, so they will stalk them throughout the game and try to kill them and assassinate their stream.
That's funny.
That's bullshit, because that's completely against the game. The game is a man for – you know what I mean? It's every man for themselves.
here's my question. How does somebody's handle, their Steam name, give away the fact that they're a streamer?
I don't know. That's the thing, is how open is this? Are they looking it up? I don't really know how they're figuring that out, or maybe the way they behave. I have no idea. All I know is that people, and I'm telling you, people word for word have just been completely pissed off that they get banned for literally any reason. So, I mean, if you're camping, which I feel like in a survival type game in an open world, camping is probably a good idea. Probably don't want to move around a lot, right? Probably want to stay and wait for your prey.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the whole point of the game, though, is that you're drawing people together, and it's a last man standing kind of thing. It's not really designed to be a long-term survival game. Each round is only supposed to take a maximum of half an hour.
But I feel like I have a different playing style. I'm not saying I okay, you know what? I'm going to put that shit out there. I'm a fucking camper, and you know why? Because it's smart. Okay? I'm waiting for my prey to walk into my crosshair.
Yeah, so I mean, this is not a game like Halo or Gears of War. This game is specifically designed for 100 people to jump in and for one person to be left standing after a half an hour. So if everybody's hiding out in, you know, the houses or the brush or something like that, just waiting for the right shot, this game is going to take forever.
But I think I disagree with you in that, only because the goal, you're going to let people pick themselves off, right? And then you're going to jump in when the game is, you know, it's down to 12 people.
But what if everybody played the way you did?
Then you're definitely right, it'd be a little boring.
Well, that's the problem, right?
For some people.
They don't want it to be boring. They want it to be exciting and fast-paced. They don't even really want the matches to take a half an hour. That's why they keep shrinking the playing area and pushing everybody closer together.
So, like, if you're reading the rule, if you're reading the reviews, I'll read one. I won't say a name, but I love this game. It's really fun and amazing. He still not recommended the game, even though his first sentence is, "I love this game. It's really fun and amazing experience to play with friends." However, there are two things that are hidden in the back of this game: streamers and developers. And then he breaks it down of why streamers are a problem. And why the developers enable them. And that's kind of the story of almost every negative review on here. And I'm just going to read through them here. Banned for camping half the game.
Yeah, but that's the point, though, right? Like, so first off, streaming is an interesting concept, because in a game like, I don't know, Persona 5 or Halo 5 for something similar there, you have a story, there's a campaign, and they don't really want that ruined. They don't want you to be able to watch the campaign, because then you might not want to pay for the game. But PUBG here is no story. It's the same kind of thing every time, and everybody knows that. So,
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I figured out how they're doing it. Sorry.
Okay. Well, so streaming is just free advertising for Bluehole Studio. That's what this is. And so they right. want to promote the streamers, because the streamers are getting the name out there. And PUBG, I mean, they're pushing records and boundaries and becoming the most popular game on Steam at any given time. And it's not even out yet, like officially. So they love this, and they want it to be fast paced. They want it to be interesting. If everybody just camps, that makes for boring streams and boring games.
So you're on the side of the developer.
I am on the side of the developer, because what they're doing fits in with the tone of the game that they've made. I feel like it's consistent. This is a game that's supposed to be fast-paced. It's supposed to be action-packed. That's the whole idea of the game.
A lot of these people, that one guy said, the one I began to read is, I got banned for camping, and his story to back this up was, I was in a solo squad, and I had been in my house for literally 5 minutes, and some high-profile streamer came through, and I shot him and reported me. So here's how they're – I just want to clarify this real quick. This is how they're stream camping, apparently. Somebody breaks it down.
Okay.
So you are watching their live stream. And you are seeing yourself in their stream, and you know that's them.
Okay, so it's just screen watching is essentially what it is. I mean, people have been doing that for a long time.
You know exactly where they are in the map, so you go over there.
Sure.
Is what they're doing.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's not new to video games. I mean, there's been screen watchers back in the days of, you know, GoldenEye and all that stuff. So,
guy's review is good.
The banning thing, though, we don't know why they banned him. They just know he was reported. So has he been reported before? Was he reported for a particular reason that wasn't camping? Right? Like, we don't actually know the details because they didn't just ban him for being idle. They banned him because he was reported.
I mean, I assume, but here's another one. I got banned for stream sniping, and I wasn't even watching a stream. That's the next comment underneath. That's the next review. So
they might have an issue with banning. They might have to ease the ban hammer back a little bit.
That's where I'm getting at. I think if you want the game to be enjoyable and playable, and everybody has a different style of play, you should probably ease up on who's like you said, who to ban and why. So
yeah, I mean, I'm okay with if somebody has not left a particular circle radius in X amount of time that they get booted out or something like that. Because if you're really just standing around waiting for people to die, that's not what the game is for. But outside of that, yeah, if streamers are just getting pissy, that's a different problem.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people, and I know this is coming from their perspective, but yeah, they're saying, you know, that they're getting banned and they're not even watching a stream, but, you know, later on find out that it's them, mm-hmm. that they were on that stream. This one's actually a pretty good, it's a negative review, but it actually breaks down some pretty valid points. He was talking about the optimization of the game is extremely poor, and that they put in... They talk about all these updates, but he doesn't really see the updates really making any difference during gameplay. And then he breaks down his specs. He's got the GTX 1060. He's got a quad-core i7, basically the same stuff that I have, 12 gigabytes of RAM. And he says his frame rate is dropping, and he says that the game...
Yeah, I mean, there could be any number of reasons, right? Like, I don't play it enough to really know if it's being improved upon on a regular basis. I imagine it is because they're putting out patches all the time. There could be latency issues because of his network. It could be any number of things. It could be the game. It could be him. Who knows? But I think overall, it's been a very positively received game. That's why it's broken records, and there have been more people playing this game than anything else. And Destiny 2 is sitting out there right now, and PUBG is still, you know, just destroying everybody.
Well, I will be playing the game. I will be picking up the game here soon and giving you a real review, because these reviews don't scare me. but... Yeah, I think it's a cool concept. I particularly am more into the foraging, and I like to build a team and I like to fortify. So
I don't think this is for you then, man, because you can't build a team.
Well, I mean, you'd hope to make a squad that they meet regularly and play on.
Yeah, but I mean, this game doesn't allow a group of people to be like a team.
There are other game modes within the game.
Okay. Okay.
So you can do. There are team death matches in here as well.
Yeah. There's not like the main way to play.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I think it's very interesting, and I will be telling you, the audience, the listeners, my opinion on this when I get a chance to get my filthy fingers over it.
All right, man.
Sounds good.
Okay. So the last kind of big topic for us here is a new game from Image Inform Games, which is a Swedish company, called SteamWorld Dig 2. And we've been playing that. It released very recently on Switch. It actually released on the 21st today, the day we're recording, on Switch. And it releases tomorrow, the day the episode comes out, on PC.
Right.
Through Steam, and then PS4 and Vita get it next week on September 26th, which I assume Xbox will get it at some point. For just a little bit of history, Image and Form has been around for a little while. They have four games in the SteamWorld franchise. Steam Tower Defense, which was their first game in 2010. SteamWorld Dig, the first one, in 2013. SteamWorld Heist, which was a turn-based strategy game, in 2015. And now the sequel to Dig.
I played Heist, and you know what? I actually didn't like Heist that much.
Really?
I thought it was interesting, but I guess I just don't care for turn-based.
Okay, okay. Well, that's fair. We have reviews of both SteamWorld Dig and SteamWorld Heist out at heroespodcast.com if you want to go see what we thought of both of those games. But we actually got an early chance to play SteamWorld Dig 2, and next week we will have their CEO on the show to talk about the game. I'm really excited.
Exciting. Very excited. Super cool. Yeah.
I am a huge fan of these guys. I have been for a long time, basically since SteamWorld Dig came out. I've been a really big fan. So let's dive in and talk about this. So you get to play as Dorothy or Dot. She is the main protagonist in the game, and you are searching for Rusty, who is the main Steam bot character in the first game. And John, you actually, I think, have played it more than I have at this point. I've played it for maybe an hour on Switch, and you've been playing it on Steam. What do you think?
Guys, I've never played other than Heist, and I really wasn't that impressed by Heist. I mean, I thought it was cool, but it wasn't my kind of game. This game is phenomenal. I really enjoyed this game. The graphics are beautiful. The soundtrack is so cool, especially when you're in the caves and the mines. It's so the beat is just so – I don't know. It just feel like I'm exploring. And it's the type of game – it's a platformer, of course, but it's the type of game where it rewards exploration and it rewards the player for taking a different route, or if you want to spend all your time mining, by all means, go mine. Mm-hmm. It's one of those games where it kind of gives you the best mixture of everything and doesn't give you a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and overpowers on some of those. So I actually really, really liked it. It's very good.
Yeah, so the first one I said is one of my favorite games. I really fell in love with it on the 3DS. I played it on Steam, but I felt that the dual screen of the 3DS really complemented the first one really, really well.
Basically, I could see that.
Well, because the touch screen at the bottom was basically your inventory and the map.
Right, yeah. Which is really cool. So it would be so helpful to have that. Playing on the PC is great, and it looks beautiful. But yeah, I could totally see that being helpful.
But on Switch, I've been playing it in TV mode. I have not played it in handheld yet, but I plan to check that out. The game is beautiful. The colors are more vivid and brighter.
Yeah.
The detail is sharper. And what I really appreciate about it is the depth. The first game felt, at times, could feel a little bit flat, which, since it's a vertical digging mining game, that's fine, right? It was never really an issue. But this one, there's so many layers to the animations that the world kind of keeps going back and back to the horizon. And you can see the layers all moving at different speeds when you go, left to right.
True.
I just thought it was really beautiful. And it was just strikingly so, that the characters were all more vibrant. The colors were better, and me being partly colorblind, the more stark the colors are, the more vivid they are, the easier it is for me to see them. And so I really love the way the second game here looks.
I second that so much. Like, you nailed it, man. The colors are just so great. Like, I actually made it to a cave, which I would describe, that looks very similar to Pandora from the Avatar movies. It's got the glowing mushroom tentacle things and all these blue lights and water and green in the background. Really cool. And oh man, it just looks so good. Like I can't, the game yeah. just looks great.
It really does. The characters are all really fun, and you know, most of them have their names are kind of puns in a way, because this is a steampunk game. The characters are not robots, they're steambots. And so, you know, Dorothy, no, you call her Dot, of course, like Dot Matrix or something. And the protagonist from the first game is Rusty, the old steambot, you know. And I love how everything is, they've got these puns, but they're not, you know, too over the top. I love a good pun, though. You know, they've got, you know, in the new game, they call them cowbots, which are the Western steambots, instead of cowboys, of course, right? There's new enemies, new bosses, new gameplay features and abilities. There's one in particular that I really want to touch on, and I'm curious to see what they have to say next week about why they made this change. But in the first game, when you get your arm cannon that is water powered, in the first game, if you fill it up using a pool of water, that water level actually goes down and you can use up all the water.
Ooh.
And so in the first game, it's a bit of strategy to decide how much water do I need, what do I want to shoot, and kind of be selective. But in this one, the water levels do not decrease. You can keep refilling as many times as you want, which
right.
I noticed like really quick off the bat. I was like, whoa, the water didn't go anywhere. Let me try this again. I wasted some ammo and did it again, and it just kind of caught me off guard because it was challenging at times to actually keep the ammo up in the later parts of the game where things got tough. So that was kind of interesting. How far have you gotten? How far do you say?
I want to say I'm at like the second cave, maybe third. I've fought in two bosses already.
Okay.
The first one, you probably fought him. He's he looks like magnetite, and he shoots like blue lights out of him.
Yeah, he's he's the cult leader, right? So
right.
Yeah,
right.
That was a fun one. I enjoyed that because there's always a sense of humor in these games that I really appreciate. I got a little bit past. I got my arm cannon, as I said, and I'm just a little bit past that. I haven't gotten very far. I plan to play it very heavily. I'm hoping to beat the main story before the interview Monday morning. So,
you know, that'd be great. I would love to beat it as well. I spent more time in the mines. And you said, speaking of exploration and mining, you said you spent more time upper level, not in the mines.
Well, I love to explore, and it's part of what I loved about Breath of the Wild so much. And this game, of course, is not as open world and free, but I realized that if you kept going to the right, there was just more and more land. And so I kept going and kind of exploring out there, and I'm not going to give anything away, but you know, there's so much to this world. Don't overlook anything. There's secrets, there's stuff, there's, you know, of course, the gems and different materials that you can sell to get upgrades and
right.
Different, you know, creatures and monsters and bad guys that do different things. And there's just a lot of fun in this game. I think that's the real key. And it was announced actually earlier today that, and this is something that they really wanted people to know, if you can complete the game at 100%, which I don't think I've ever done that outside of like a Super Mario game, but if you can do it, there is post-game content that gets unlocked.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that makes me really want to figure out how to get 100% on this thing.
Yeah, because they're giving you every incentive.
Right? Yeah. So we'll have to see. I don't know. I don't remember what percentage I got on the first one. I'll have to look that up. But, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, guys, if you haven't picked up the game, do you know what it's going to sell for?
Yeah. So, it's like I said, it's available on Switch now and PC by the time this episode premieres, and then PS4 and Vita next week. For USD, it'll be $19.99. So, you know, it'll vary a little bit depending on what country you're in, but $19.99 USD is the main price for that, across all the platforms. And man, it's just, it's beautiful on Switch. And so I can only imagine it's equally so on the other platforms.
Oh, it looks great on my PC. One thing I had a question about, was it confirmed that it's running at 60 frames per second?
Yeah.
Because I hardly noticed any.
I don't know. Games like this, I never really pay that much attention to the frame rate. Because it's not like super fast paced or anything like that, but you know, maybe that'll come up in the conversations next week and we'll get some details on that.
Oh, I'm sure they're sick of hearing that word or that FPS like that. It's just, everyone talks about that now. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Basically what I was going to get at was even a game as simple as, what appears to be simple, which is still, again, the graphics are just beautiful, can achieve that. So
yeah, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what the frame rate is, as long as it looks good. And so, you know, if this game looks like it's 60 frames per second, but it's not, it's 30, then it looks good. So that's that.
It looks great.
You know, this is not a racing game or a game like Destiny or something like that. This is a beautiful game that is a little more slow paced. It's more about discovery and exploration, and I'm not sure it would need to be a 60 frame game.
Yeah, which is why I was curious. If they took time to develop it with 60 frames per second, wow, even more power to them. But it just looks great.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else that you want to touch on in this game? For anybody who doesn't really know what the universe is like. Basically, the whole thing takes place on Earth in the future, right? And so we're long gone, so to speak, and the Steam bots have kind of taken over. So it's kind of a fun premise. SteamWorld Heist, which was the game released before this one, takes place farther in the future, actually, following a different set of characters from the SteamWorld Dig games. So that's just kind of something to be aware of.
I think they nailed the steampunk vibe very well. A lot of the upgrades and the, like you said, the bosses you're fighting they're very, I don't know how to say it. They look like old tankers and stuff. Like they look like very steampunky,
yeah.
Which, is really cool. Cause it gives it a unique flavor and style.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed it overall. I just think it's a really great game. And, I would have never picked up a game like this based on my experience with Heist, because I guess I just don't like turn-based. I guess that's what it is. But this one's just so different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, turn-based isn't for everybody. When it comes to like turn-based RPGs, it's hit or miss with me, but I loved Heist. But I think it's because I really love what Image and Form puts together. I love their style and their tone. And so I love that universe that they've built, and I wanted to kind of learn more about it.
You know, one thing that also is, Heist had more of that pixel art, and this is more drawing, graphic CG, you know?
Yeah, I mean, part of that is because, you know, Heist, of course, had to be able to run on a 3DS, whereas this is really only running on HD, full HD consoles. And so they could push those limits a little bit, and it's been a couple of years, too. You know, it was 2 years ago that SteamWorld Heist came out, so... But yeah, we'll have more on that next week. We're going to dive into the details with their CEO of Image and Form Games. So I look forward to that. John, have you been playing any other games in the meantime?
I have been trying to complete the games I currently have. So I'm pretty close to finishing Injustice 2. I made that a mission to have that completed by the end of October is my goal. So Injustice 2... I've been playing some of the classic games I have on my PC, and I will be picking up PUBG or whatever you want to call it.
PUBG
this weekend or sometime next week, and see what that's all about.
Nice. For me, I've actually been playing a lot of different games. I picked up Metroid Samus Returns, which is essentially a remake of the original Metroid 2 on Game Boy. really beautiful. They've actually pushed the limits of what I thought you could do with the DS graphics. I have a 3DS XL, and this is the by far the most beautiful game I've played on the DS. So
really?
Yeah, absolutely. So
even better than Smash Bros.
Yeah, Smash Bros. Looks pixelated compared to Metroid: Samus Returns.
Wow.
So that was really cool to show, you know, to see that they're continuing to push the limits of this hardware, because you know it's not brand new. It's not the 2DS XL. It's they haven't updated the graphics in a long time. So I was impressed by that. And then,
how's the story?
Oh, it's a good game, right? It's a sequel to the original Metroid, and you know, you're Samus is sent back to the Metroid home world to defeat the Metroid population, essentially. There's some repetitiveness to the game because you still, like, you start off with none of your real abilities, right? So you have to get, like, the ability to turn into the ball and the ability to drop the little bombs, and since I haven't played a Metroid game in quite some time, that's fine. But, you know, if you just played Super Metroid or something like that, it's going to be a little repetitive. But it's a really cool looking game. It looks great. It plays really well. And so it's been positive for me since it's been years since I've actually played a Metroid game like this. The other game I've been playing is I downloaded the demo of Project Octopath Traveler for Switch, which is another Square Enix title. It was announced during the Nintendo Direct that we covered last week on episode 32. It's a two-dimensional HD RPG. They call it HD 2D, and it's because the characters are two-dimensional.
Well, right.
But the space that you're on is three-dimensional. So you have these two-dimensional sprites basically moving in a 3D space, which looks really cool. The graphics are really interesting. The detail's not as sharp as I would normally expect from Square Enix, but it's cool. There's eight characters. Only two are available during the beta, but they're all very different characters. I've only played it for about a half an hour or so, getting through the intro and all that. But it's a free demo. It's on Switch, so you can go check that out. I'm hoping to finish the demo out here. And they have a survey that they send you when you download the beta, so I'll fill that out for them. And that's it. That's what I've been playing, man.
Hey, that's very current, up-to-date stuff. That's brand new stuff that's just released, so that's really cool, man.
Yeah, I've been,
I'm glad you're able to get the time to do it.
I've been trying, dude. The girlfriend, she's working on a lot of cosplay stuff right now for some upcoming conventions. So when she does that, it's a good time for me to game, you know?
I'm, as you guys, as the viewers or listeners know, I've moved into my new home, and I think I'm getting to a place where I can have free time, but not too much, because I still got a lot of housework to do, but some.
Hey, man, now that you own a house, it never ends.
Don't tell me that.
Dude, my AC unit went out, and I know it's like it's September, right? But it was 94 degrees today. So.
It was. Yeah. It's supposed to be hot this weekend too here, guys. We're in Kansas City, and the weather is unpredictable.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're looking at what for the week? I guess 90 this weekend? Isn't that what we're looking at? 90s all week?
I didn't even look at the weekend, but it's been 90 most of the week. You know, so
Friday sunny and 90, Saturday sunny and 89, Sunday is sunny and 87. Okay, so Tuesday we dip back into 70, okay. 72.
I'll take what I can get, I guess. But yeah, man, house ownership, it's kind of, you know, a double edged sword sometimes. So
yeah, I've already gotten my fill. So I've already experienced some of that. Thankfully, it's pretty manageable.
Fair enough.
So figuring it out.
Cool. Well, then I think we'll probably wrap this up. Next week, we have the interview with the CEO of Image Inform Games to talk more about SteamWorld Dig 2. We'll also talk about plenty of other stuff, depending on what comes up in the news and things like that. So please tune in there. Don't forget to check us out at heroespodcast.com and at heroespodcast on all the social medias. And, you know, we had kind of a special project that we kicked off on Patreon.
Yes, we did.
Super, super excited. Last weekend, we filmed our first monthly movie scene. We were doing a monthly iconic movie scene that we do on a budget. This one cost us less than $30, I think. And it is the only hint you get is it is from a Quentin Tarantino film. And if you want early access to that or behind-the-scenes content, go to patreon.com/heroespodcast and become a patron for as little as a dollar. So there you go.
Guys, you're going to love this video. It's starring yours truly, and Derek is very confused and very scared in this video, so it's going to be very good.
I also directed it, so yeah.
No, we don't get, directors don't get credit.
That hurts.
No. It's going to be great, and I think you're going to enjoy it as viewers, and it's going to be silly, it's going to be fun, it's going to be emotional, it's going to be sad, it's going to be angry. You're going to feel all these emotions here.
And we've got some fun ideas for future ones. Every month we're going to do something different. We're going to do something special for Halloween. We're looking at doing just some really great stuff. So check it out. You can see the behind-the-scenes stuff. There are some public posts that give you some information, too. And you get early access if you're a patron. So patreon.com/heroespodcast. Don't forget to go on iTunes and drop us a review. John, why should they do that?
Guys, you need to do this because, one, you could get a free game. Okay, that could be PUBG. If you want to go ahead and you want to go and give your own rating and get stream banded, whatever, PUBG. It could be that. It could be Steam World Dig 2. It could be any game. But, guys, we're giving away a video game as soon as we hit 10 reviews. 10 reviews. I want you right now, go on to YouTube or iTunes and leave us a review right now.
Well,
even if it says,
on iTunes because we're not on YouTube.
So. YouTube is coming, so get your fingers ready.
Go to iTunes.
We're giving away free games.
If you can't find us, just go to heroespodcast.com, and there's a giant iTunes button for Gamer Heroes. Just click on that. It'll take you right to the page. So when we get to 10, we're randomly going to draw one of you guys to get a free game, console or PC, up to $59.99 USD before tax. Could be whatever you want as long as it's for sale. But that's going to be it for us, guys. Tune in next week for our cool interview. We'll catch you next time.
Be square.